But let's get John Shattuck on. See if it's as easy as connecting him. Still got his old Skype number here. I tried to add him as a contact.
Shattuck, martial arts.
Mr. John Shattuck, how we doing?
Hey, what's up?
Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron here. We also have two other guys on the broadcast. You may remember Tony the Tornado Pentacal, our original co-host.
What's up? I do remember, yeah.
Still with
how
us.
How you doing?
And we've also
I'm doing good.
We've also got a guy who can read your fortune, Psychic Tom Padgett.
Good evening, John. What's up?
So, John, we're dying to know, what have you been doing with our other former guest, Diamond Dallas Page?
Yeah, actually, I just got done training with him. Training him at his house in Atlanta. I am in the process of training to be one of his yoga coaches. Yoga under his form, it's DDP Yoga.
Yep. And, yep, that's what we interviewed him for, actually.
It's a fantastic
when he
program.
First started it.
I've been doing it to get fit, and I love it. And then I decided to become an instructor. So
awesome.
That, and then he's come out with a new thing called DDP Power Cups, which is blood-restricted training. It combines it with weightlifting, and he wanted to show me that, so... That's when I came out. So it was quite the event. It was a lot of fun. I got some great training in, and it was just an awesome program. We literally got off the plane, got in an Uber, got to his house. He's like, got some trunks. Yep. He throws me in a, he didn't throw me, but he's going a cold plunge. He went in for 5 minutes and, and then he goes, okay, you go. And so I wasn't going to wimp out. I went for four, and then he kicked me out. He said, you probably go five or six. And, he let me, you know, he told me to get out, though. He was, you know, he wanted to make sure I'd be okay. So I did the cold plunge there. And then we get on his bike. He's got this really cool bike with, I'm going to say the wrong name of the thing, but he's got like an elevation mask thing. Actually, yeah. It was like an oxygen mask, but it would give you the feeling of being in high altitude.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was training with him on that. I did that for 20 minutes with him. He did it for 20, and I did it for 20. And then we went and lifted with the cuffs. I lifted with him and his buddy Tony, who was a former Mr. Olympia competitor. And we were training with the power cuffs, lifted, and then I did yoga with him. So it was pretty much... I got tortured when I went down there. So. I'm tired from listening to that.
Yeah, right.
And then I did more. Then I did more yoga later. So, yeah, I'm really excited because what we're trying to do is we've actually had a real big year at Shattuck Martial Arts. My brother Dale, 6 months ago, opened up a second location, which is about 40 minutes from me. And so we're trying to include yoga at my location, or possibly his. We're gonna bring. We're trying to bring jiu-jitsu to his location in Essex, Maryland. So we've got a lot of stuff going on right now. So it's been a pretty intense year so far.
Well, I know you've been doing this stuff since MySpace was around, at least probably before that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But tell the listeners here how you got involved in the first place in fighting. I know we asked you that last time.
In fighting?
Yeah.
Well, I am the youngest of four boys. And the true story on that is my brothers got into wrestling, and I kind of basically had to. And our garage turned into a wrestling mat. My parents bought wrestling mats, so... we didn't use our garage for the cars anymore. It was wrestling mats. Started wrestling at age three. My older brother was helping to coach me. And then we got into high school, and I was getting burnt out of wrestling, and we wandered up into a boxing gym and started doing Golden Gloves boxing. And me and my brothers all trained. Two of my brothers were Golden Gloves champs. My brother Chris trained with the Olympians in Colorado Spring. And... I won two of them Diamond Belt Championships. So we're in Golden Gloves Boxing. Did a stint of kickboxing for a little bit. Fought in a tough man contest. I've done Aikido. I've done Jeet Kune Do. I've done a little bit of pretty much everything. And then recently, at age 39, wandered into a jiu-jitsu studio and ended up, the guy ended up, he ended up leaving. I ended up taking over the jiu-jitsu studio, and now I'm Shattuck Martial Arts, and now my brother Dale's taking on another location, so things are going pretty well.
Awesome.
And then recently I did the, at age 46, I decided to fly over to Europe and fight in the 5-on-5. I don't know if you've seen the 10 guys in the ring.
Oh, no. Really? The team fighting? You did that?
I was on the first U.S. team.
Wow.
And then I helped coach the first U.K. team over there. So I was in TFC 2 and TFC 3.
Oh, my God. So what did you think about the ethical situation of that? Like, you know, three guys on one, that would happen all the time. That was like just a natural risk you had to face, or what? Like, I always thought that, geez, man, that's just rough.
Oh, it was pretty crazy. I mean, I watched it on the internet. I watched the first one, and I looked, and I'm like, man, these guys, and the talent level was totally different when we went up. But the first one, I was like, yeah, I could probably get a group of guys together. I tried to get a group of guys together. I ended up finding a promoter that got me a bunch of guys from Ohio that I'd never met before. We met at the airport, the Kennedy Airport, and flew out together. So basically four guys and myself went out and fought these guys from Riga, Latvia, which is where we were fighting.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, man. It was insane. The team from Poland, three of the guys were wearing neoprene skeleton masks on their face, like they wear when you go skiing type things. And I'm like, okay, they're going to take these off when they enter the ring. Well, they didn't.
Oh, no.
And they were fighting with these masks on.
That's cheating.
On top of the fact that they were gigantic, these guys were like all like 6'6", like 260. I was 240, and I would have been the small guy on the team.
That's the reason these things are held overseas,
they
you know.
Were just, ends up, we found out after the fact that these guys were wanted for war crimes, and they knew it was going to be videotaped, so the only way they were fighting was with these masks on their face, and they let them do it. So
oh, wow. Yeah, you never know. End up fighting a wanted guy. Yeah, I always thought that was very brutal. You know, obviously, like anything, if you have quick enough stoppages, it's not that bad. But, you know, if you're the winning team, it's cool. But if you get, like, you know, in a situation where you're the last guy out there and there's whole team is left, I mean, I can't imagine what that must feel like.
I will say, with him, they actually had five referees in, and one of the guys was actually refereeing the Roy Jones fight that night. So it was not like a joke. He was a real deal, yeah. Like, ref. So, and you know, they handled it. I had a rough night at the office, but I was okay. You know, yeah. I didn't get, you know, I was able to fly home and it was okay. So, I mean, they handled themselves as far as the referees professional. It was actually well done.
Yeah.
We were hoping to promote it. Actually, believe it or not, I was on pay-per-view, but I think I might have been one of the other ones to pay for the pay-per-view. So, but they had the fights on there. They just didn't promote it correctly. If they promoted correctly, I think it would have been pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It was a YouTube sensation for sure.
From all over. They came from Sweden and Belarus, Russia, the U.S. team. And I did two of them, so... The next one was England was involved, so it was a lot of different countries. It would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just tough to regulate something like that. Make sure nobody gets really badly hurt, because it's like a lynching, you know? It's like if it gets to that point where it's one guy against the whole team.
Well, it was crazy because it was like the old Pride rule, so...
Oh, yeah, that too. Like you could do soccer kicks and stuff.
Point where I was getting kicked in the knees at the same time, two different people, so it was pretty rough. But yeah. You know,
I've been in one situation like that where I got hit with a bottle, And I ended up getting staples, and it was just at a party, and I was trying to, you know, pull somebody off my cousin who was being a drunk idiot. I wasn't even really drunk, and all of a sudden, the whole party is, it seems like it's beating the back of my head.
Yeah. But
somehow I got out of there all right, you know, after, other than the staples. But that was from the bottle. Somebody smashed a bottle over my head. But, yeah, never in an organized fighting situation have I had multiple opponents. That's got to be rough. So, we were talking earlier before we got you on about the DDP connection with another guy we're familiar with. I did a big article on Butterbean years ago. We had him on the show. And
what's cool is I got to actually meet him when we were down there.
So he's still working with DDP, right?
Yeah. He's got 200 pounds.
200.
He looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the pictures. He just had the birthday.
Yeah, we were hanging out. Actually, his birthday was when I was down there. So he came over for his birthday. I got to hang out with him on his birthday. It was pretty cool.
Sweet.
Talk about a real genuine, just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't like stuck up or anything. Sat there and, you know, shot the shit with him about fighting and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, one of my.
Yeah, we were talking about Butterbean up before you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I was saying, I met him about 20 years ago at a fight going to fight in Atlantic City. And this is when you still were using film cameras. And he was greeting after the fight. And I went up, I was talking to him, I go to shake his hand and get a photo. And just at that moment, somebody starts heckling him about, fight Mike Tyson, and he goes, "Babe, I'll fight him in a 4-pounder," and the photo gets snapped. So in the photo, he's totally looking away at this heckler. Talking about the yoga program, and I've seen, his pictures, we were talking about what he, you know, did the Butterbean diet back in the 90s to, you know, fight in that tough man contest because he had to get under 400. And then he got down to about 300, but then you could see him progressively getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Before he got on this program, now what was he weighing?
I know he was close to 500. Okay. He's roughly about 300 right now.
Yeah, I mean, he looks really good in these photos. I mean, you could tell he's put a lot of work in. When we interviewed Diamond Dallas Page, probably about 11 years ago now, and I think we all came up with the same thing. Diamond Dallas Page does yoga.
And
on the air with us.
Because of injuries. Yeah. He had the back injuries.
Diamond Dallas Page. I was, you know, in my 20s when he had his run at the top. And, you know, he was that type of guy. And I remember even Mick Foley saying in his book, he lived his gimmick. What you saw on TV was him. The tacky shades, you know, the bang, you know, that was him. You know, it wasn't an act. And when Rich says to me, "We got Diamond Dallas Page on the internet," I'm like, "Really? Oh my God, that's awesome."
And it was to initially promote. It was. We got him when DDP Yoga was like just starting to be promoted.
Yeah, if you told me, I guess even 5 years ago, I would be doing yoga, I'd be like, no way. It's the way his yoga is different. I know his old thing was, it's not your mama's yoga, but it's his old tagline. But
yeah,
it really isn't. It's what he's done. If you really research it, he's taken yoga postures, he's taken rehab, because he was really busted up.
Oh, yeah, the spine thing.
He started professional wrestling at 35, so he was in the late end of his thing. Took a lot of punishment doing that. And then he was trying to figure out, you know, out of necessity, what the hell can I do to regain it? So he took yoga, he took that, and he took dynamic resistance.
Yeah,
which is working with, you know, your muscles, and so you're building muscle strength, tendon strength, all that stuff on top of you're working on your flexibility. Yeah. I mean, the guy's 67 years old. He was putting me in the dirt with his workout. His flexibility is amazing. I mean, the guy is incredible.
Yeah.
And he lives a really clean life now. I mean, I was eating with him when we were, I mean, he was cooking for me, which is pretty cool. I mean, we were eating real clean,
drinking water, and just the guy lives his life now the right way to be.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing videos of him working with Jake the Snake a little.
And I went and I ordered some of the DVDs, and I'll do them from time to time depending on my schedule. And I remember, you know, and I remember thinking, like, I mean, I guess it's working because I saw the video with Arthur Borman, who's now on the DVD that I have as one of the instructors. And I'm like, well, it's got to be something because I see a result here. But I didn't believe it until I started doing it. And I remember doing the first ones like Energy and Fat Burner, and then you get to Below the Belt, and I'm like, whoa, this is getting pretty intense. I thought Below the Belt, I'm like, it's going to be all the lower stuff. No, definitely not. And then when I did that first time, I did the Diamond Cutter. Oh, I was cursing. Oh, I was in the living room, and I was cursing him. And I took a selfie with him, like his still frame on the TV behind me, and I'm doing a selfie, and you can actually, I'm drenched, and I could never, if you would have told me before I started doing that you will have your heart rate up to 150 standing still, I would have said bullshit.
Yeah,
that's impossible. Like I said, the first thing he said when we got him on the air all them years ago was when his wife at the time, I think it was Kimberly, said you should try yoga if it's for your back. And his thing was, I don't do that for deep shit. And then he goes, no, and she showed him some of the stretches. And he goes, but if I need to take that stretch and put a dynamic resistance and an isometric in that, and he goes, I can actually get my heart rate up while I'm doing this. And it was, and I'm a believer. Like I said, there were days doing that. One, I'm like, I'm cursing him, man, but I'm like, I'm cursing him in a good way. I'm like, I'm thanking him while cursing him.
Yeah.
I was working out with him. Now, granted, we were, like I said, I think he was trying to kill me. We were pushing, he was pushing me, but we were doing a yoga thing, and this is where I got came through rally. We had the heart rate monitors on. Heart rate was up to 170.
Wow.
And burned 550 calories in a 45-minute session.
Wow. Yeah.
So it just, you know, we were just doing some crazy shit, just all over the place. Now, we were doing some advanced stuff that's even past my, because I'm going for my level one certification. So it's like beginner stuff. And he was just having me doing all this crazy stuff. It was awesome. But I was like, wow, I can't believe I can burn that many calories. I can't believe I can get my heart rate up that high. That's pretty cool. So it's definitely it's a real deal. And I think it's going to fit right really well with Shattuck MMA, as well as with the Power Cuffs, which is the blood restricted train. I don't know if you've looked into those at all. But the beauty of that is I'm working out with like 20-pound dumbbells. It feels like I'm lifting 50-pound dumbbells. And
so explain that, how that power cuff concept works, because I saw those on your page, and I was like, what is this thing? How does it actually work?
I'm gonna give you the best I can do, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not a scientist of stuff, and you probably get more out of the blog. I had my web lady look up stuff, and she did the blog on it. But basically, it restricts your blood. You crank them up. It's kind of like wearing a tourniquet.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to give you as layman terms as I can. And you're lifting, and then you do it for a certain time period, and then you release the cuffs and get a little bit of a breather, and you tighten them up again as you go. But what it does is it gives you a really good pump, and it gives you the simulation of lifting heavier, but you're not putting the stress on your joints and tendons that you would. You know, if I was like doing curls with like a 75-pound dumbbell, I'm doing it now with a 20-pound dumbbell. I'm getting pretty much the same type of resistance. I'm getting the same muscle growth. I'm getting the same pump on my arms, but I'm not destroying my body.
Wow. That's
so
interesting.
We were lifting with the X-Men and Tony. I'm trying to think, I'm having trouble thinking of his last name, but he was one of the Miss Olympian competitors, and he loves it because he's lifting with a portion of his weight. I mean, this is a guy that used to curl like, you know, a gazillion pounds, and now he's lifting with a lighter weight, but he's getting the same pump. He getting his muscles, getting muscle growth again. You're getting the testosterone production and stuff, but you're not beating your body up. And as you know, as we age, you need to do resistance training. You need to work on your flexibility, like the yoga. And this is a great way to do it. And what I'm doing is it's helping me. I teach jiu-jitsu. You know, I'm 55 now,
yeah.
And I'm rolling with guys in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s. And I'm able to hang with them because my body's not beat up. I had a point where I couldn't do anything because my back was all jacked up. And I got back into doing the yoga and stuff and helped.
Yeah, back issues will ruin you. I had sciatica bad a few times, so I'm witness to that. Thankfully, I have nothing going on with my spine. I was very lucky when I fell off a roof in college because I had fused vertebrae on the top. But where I landed was like right on my upper back. So it was right at that point where they were fused. If not, I would have broke my back right there, you know, or not my neck if I hadn't tucked and rolled a little bit like I did. But, yeah, that was my only significant injury, and I was lucky enough that, you know, a couple of years and the bones healing was really all I needed. But I went and did the boxing after that, too. I went the highest level of boxing that I ever gone through was college. And I did that after falling off a roof. I broke 3 backbones, 2 ribs, and punctured a lung. But I probably would have benefited from DDP yoga back then. Now, too, I mean, I'm just, it's so easy. The problem I get is it's so easy to get in that, like you had a post about dad bods, you know, in that gaining 20 to 30 pounds in 1 month. You know, it's easy as you get older. When you're young, you're just like running around doing stuff. Your metabolism is up there, but it's just, every year you tick on, it's just easier to just be like, all right, I'm going to take 3 weeks off and I'll be fine. But nope, when you got the beer gut, but you got to get rid of
them. So. It's not, you know, none of the workouts that I do are long anymore, whether I'm doing, you know, I limit my jiu-jitsu now to a few days a week, boxing to a few days a week, and the yo-yo, and they're not long workouts. It used to be when I was younger, do all these, like, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour workouts. Now I'm shortening it up. So the yoga workouts are short because of the power cuffs, the lifting shorter. My jiu-jitsu, I'm limiting my days. I'm limiting my days with the boxing. But if you warn it out, you get the results that you want. I think that's, you know, what we're trying to do with our gym is incorporate all these things, whether it's boxing, jiu-jitsu, yoga, the power cuffs. If we install that into the gym, it's just going to get people in better shape and keep getting shape longer. You know, the key is it's, you know, it's not a short-term thing. It's like a diet. You can't diet for 3 months and then quit. You got to keep it going. So if you keep it interesting and fun, but it's not beating the crap out of your body, do it for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah. You know, like low impact, right? Anything low impact is usually good for your joints the older you are. But yeah, I've loved that kind of stuff. My dad had, I found him when we were moving from New Hampshire to Maine here, but my dad had the original Tony Atlas set of, you know, his whole strength system. From back in the day, I think it's like the 20s he was selling them in pamphlets. Had the entire set. And even when I was a kid, I remember finding one and reading how he would rip a phone book in half. His trick there was like to bend it over the knee and like separate the pages first and get that rip going. And then you would take it across your chest and rip it like a freaking gorilla. And I learned how to do it from that. It wasn't very hard. But he did a lot of isometrics, too. He knew that that was big back in the day. You know, there was some criticism.
The isometric stuff works, man.
Yeah, there was some criticism that maybe
all this stuff works.
He didn't do only that, but he did lift some weights, too. But, I mean, come on. It's still a good system. Anyway, so what do you think about the big fight this weekend? I'm going to be placing bets because it's legal now up here. Aljamain or O'Malley?
I think Aljo's going to win. I think
that's where the logical money is.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to go with the grappler. I mean, O'Malley definitely can swat. He's got that, but I just think the competition, Aljo, and Aljo's from Long Island. I grew up in Long Island, and he went to Cortland State. My brother Scott used to wrestle for Cortland, so I got to kind of go with Aljo on that.
Well, that kind of brings me to the question, too. What do you think about wrestling's ranking in the fight styles for MMA now? Like, is it still as important as it used to be? Because I think it is. I mean,
oh my God. I mean, any type of grappling, I mean, I've kind of gotten away a little bit from boxing. I'm more into the jiu-jitsu, and we do submission wrestling. I really like Eddie Bravo stuff. The 10th Planet stuff's crazy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you can get somebody on the ground and you can control them, it's not the most exciting thing all the time.
Right.
I mean, look at somebody like Khabib, you know, did his style, was it exciting? No, but he was so dominant. Oliveira, the same type of thing. He could catch in those crazy submissions. So I think he just, nowadays you have to be well-rounded, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, we haven't really seen O'Malley on the ground. I know he's got some ground stuff, obviously. You know, anytime you're training in that type of level, but my thing is, Aljo's got enough striking to get in there, and I think he's going to get inside him, and it's going to be lights out. But maybe I'm wrong, you know. If he gets clipped, though,
yeah,
you always got the punch chance. That's what
I said.
The thing about being a striker, you always got that chance.
I said earlier that O'Malley needs the Jorge Masvidal versus Ben Askren style for this one.
Yeah.
Flying knee across the cage. Derek Lewis just did it the other day as a heavyweight, so if he can do it.
He's not that height, though, which is kind of scary. He does have that sneaky punch. You know, he throws that in.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think Aljo's just, if you look at the competition that they face.
Yeah, exactly. He's just had so much better competition and a longer career. Been in the UFC a little bit longer, obviously. And the wrestling, just top notch.
I think Wei Ling's going to win. I think she's, you know, Lemos is good, but I don't know. I think he's not as well rounded. Again, same type of thing. She's a grappler, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
Weidman's coming back, and he's on the under. He's not even on the main card.
He's pissed about that. Yeah, see, I read that.
I'm kind of pissed about that too.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to come out. Chito, that's going to be a tough fight too.
Munoz.
I always like Chito, though. He's got that.
Yeah.
The only problem is if he falls asleep. And
yeah,
waits,
I got him third round knockout. I put some money on for Chito. He likes to do that late fight shit.
I know. I'm awful at that. I've had one experience where I did really well and I won like a parlay.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
kind of a crazy chance.
Not for amateurs.
For the most part, every time I bet with my heart.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem betting with my heart. I'll just try to overanalyze it and try to make patterns out of everything. And patterns like very rarely pay off. Because first of all, they're not very high odds. And second of all, like, you know, it's not like nature. It's what they call chaos. That's my best advice I've ever got. You're betting on chaos. Anything can happen. So you have to consider that. Like, I think my best win was the girl who got the submission over Carolina Kowalkiewicz. No, who is that girl that? Just lost the title not too long ago. Why am I saying Pollyanna? You know, the Russian girl. Can't think of her name. But she got submitted, and I just, like, off the cuff, picked her and another girl, like, another fighter, like, with two fights left and won the parlay. Like, wicked quick, because I just was, like, losing on every other bet. So I was like, screw it. These are high odds, so got it. So that was my best one so far. But it's really hard because, as we've seen from the big scandal with another guest of ours, James Krause, we had him on the show, I want to say 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago now. We were still fighting full time.
Yeah, that guy's a hell of a coach, man.
Yeah, and he had inside information. So
yeah.
he was making a killing with it, and even giving but other fighters tips.
Just, you know that's a big part of the whole thing. They do the same thing with the football and the, you know, who's got injuries and whatnot. You don't know going in.
Like Scotty Schefter, it gets paid. You can't knock Kraus for doing it.
You're doing that type of training. You know, I think a lot of these guys, unfortunately, I think they overtrain. I think they're getting better at it as the years go on. But a lot of these guys go in there banged up because, you know, they just overtrain. They're getting the crappy guys.
Well, look at TJ there. TJ Dillashaw comes into the fight with a dislocated elbow or shoulder. What was it? I think it was an elbow. And pops it back into place in the middle of the fight. And he retired. That was just bad form on his part to not even tell anybody about that. But, it's unfortunate when stuff like that happens. And the UFC just ended up going into that, you know, that class action case now. So all their lawyers couldn't stop that. That's going to get interesting. I communicate directly with that Rob Mazey, one of the lawyers behind that, and he did the IMMAF, IMAF, something like that, IMMA, International Mixed Martial Arts Federation. He was like the first guy to even concept the union and fall apart and do nothing. But he's like one of the original lawyers behind the case, and he was saying, there's like one case that overrules the whole thing that they're looking at. And it's been like months and months. So they finally decided that in his favor. And there's like 1,200 fighters involved now. So that's going to be huge.
I don't think I was going to see a union.
No, I don't think so either. But the biggest thing they've been trying to lobby for is to have the Muhammad Ali Act applied, which I don't even know if that solves it. You know, because boxing gets the, you know, people get dragged through the mud in boxing too and treated like crap even with that in place. So
I think those guys, I mean, I went to the Boxing Hall of Fame and you see all these guys that are just, you can tell they've been through the ringer, you know.
Well, yeah, there's more like I think there was a study years ago, there was more like arm breaks and, you know, heavy duty injuries from MMA, but there was way more concussions from boxing. Because if you think about it, like the object is to knock the guy out with a headshot. Whereas MMA, there's a bunch of different options.
You get a lot more damage, honestly, in sparring. I mean, I was sparring my brother, but we beat the snot out of each other for the most part. I mean, we were told to just spar. Our old coach put us in there. We were sparring like 7 rounds. And that's the way he wanted us to do it. We didn't do any better until my brother went to the Olympic camp, started training with the Olympians, and we started, you know, drilling and hitting the bags and stuff. But when we first started, it was basically sparred, and that's how you learn.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, I work a little bit with John Scully, too. I don't know if you know him, but...
John Scully,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's a boxer, ex-boxer.
He's a good guy, yeah.
He trains Beterbiev, actually. He's one of the co-trainers for him. And he's doing this thing now with memorabilia because he knows so many fighters. He gets autographs.
He's doing some really cool stuff for the fighters. Yeah. He was in my brother Scott's weight 1 year. My brother Scott was fighting in New England in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we've had him on the show like 6 times at least over the years. It's like a yearly tradition almost. But
he's a really cool guy. He does a lot of work for those guys.
He keeps them. Awesome. The best thing that like I don't even think he gives himself enough credit for is on top of giving all these families that are dealing with these fighters that are paralyzed for the rest of their life, he gives them money every month, every week sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's developed such a network that he doesn't even have to sell stuff. People just send him money to give to these people. I call him the patron saint of boxing, but, it's just a very genuine guy. And on top of it, like he's good at promoting himself because he's always wanted to write a book. I don't know if you know this, but he's always, he's probably got hundreds of pages of notes already, but he's always talked about doing something called the Iceman Diaries. And if you know, follow him on Facebook, you see, like, he tells a story every day.
Iceman Diaries.
Yeah, the Iceman Diaries. So I can't wait for him to do that.
He's a real cool guy. He actually, it was funny because I was talking to him years back. I tried out for that show, The Contender. This is back when Stallone was doing it. The first season. And I tried out in D.C. and I tried out in Philly. And then they were doing middleweights, and there's no way I was making middleweight unless I cut a limb off. So. But it was fun. But he was helping me with that, because I was asking questions. He was like, "Yeah, you do this and go to this guy." And so he's a real. He didn't know me from a hole in the wall, except my brother Scott was in his weight 1 year. And that's kind of how he knew me. But a real cool guy, really genuine.
Yeah, so I gave him a Mike Tyson glove that I got out in Vegas. I got him signed it for like $300 or something like that. And it's probably worth like $500 to me. If I was going to sell it, that's probably what I would take for it. But I sent it to Scully, and I had him sell it, and I took nothing out of it. And he ended up selling it for $2,500. That's how big Mike Tyson's name still is. There was a big buzz around it. But I mean, I was thrilled just to see that was going to go to, you know, somebody's care that nobody else was taking care of. You know, he's there to bridge the gap for those people. I think the only guy that won a big lawsuit in the group that has been paralyzed in recent years was that Magomedov guy, who basically got screwed over, not just by the fight, but the medical staff, like, at the place was not prepared. So, like, they didn't even get an ambulance. They had to take him by cab to the hospital. I remember reading about that. It's just unfortunate that these people don't get taken care of. I mean, the UFC obviously does a good job because they haven't had any kind of bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But,
fighting
stuff. So what keeps you at it? Other than, you know, just being in charge of the gym and having to do it. What keeps you doing it these days?
I mean, there's always desire to do better. I think, I always feel like I've got one more thing to go. So right now, I get to challenge myself to become an instructor. And I'm doing like a 12-month period. I'm trying to do it in 6. So pushing myself that way. And it's the only thing that kind of I enjoy as far as keep myself fit. And, I can't run anymore. I'm actually lifting again with the new cuffs that made it fun because it's quick. I don't like spending, hours in the gym lifting. And so the jiu-jitsu is the one thing that I can kind of compete a little bit, go against some younger guys and test myself. And it keeps it fun. But it keeps me fit, keeps me in shape, keeps me alive, man. So,
are they going to invent the power cuffs to simulate a choke or what? Rear naked choke?
Yeah, I'm thinking about working with those, maybe rolling around with them. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I'm playing with them with the weights right now, but we'll see what evil comes from there in the future.
Are there any medical concerns from, like, leaving them on too long or something? Or is it pretty easy to release?
I've actually one of the guys that I consult with is a doctor with Dallas. So I mean, they're the whole training program with it is pretty solid. So they're not just like going willy nilly and cranking the things up. There's certain concerns that you have to
running around with blue hands, right?
Smart about doing it. So
I figured it would have to be regimented.
I can consult with any. Like, I've got the numbers of people to consult with, and don't have any questions about it. But basically, don't be a bonehead and do it correctly, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, how do people find you online?
Okay, we got ShattuckMMA.com. That's our website. And I am, I think, on every piece of social media that there's out there. I'm on Threads, and I'm on whatever. It's not Twitter anymore. It's X, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah,
right. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook.
I'm on LinkedIn. So what I'm trying to do is get a social media presence. And the one thing I am trying to look for is that I love the ice bath that I was in. I'm trying to get one of those guys to sponsor me because I want to do a kind of like a podcast in the ice pod. So,
well, there you go.
One of the places I've been talking to is the Pods Company. So hopefully they're listening to this. And maybe they'll hook me up with something. So.
Nice. There was a controversy on that, yeah. On the Ultimate Fighter. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, the guys were in there for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, they did a coach's challenge with it, and Dana White was pissed.
Yeah, I think you should be made. I think Penn is kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Dallas was doing like 5 to 7 a day is what he does. And,
yeah.
You know, I was doing like 5 a day. I did like 3 days in the tub, but I was surprisingly, I hate the cold and I liked it. I mean, definitely for being older and banged up and definitely yeah. Heals you, definitely makes you feel good.
Well, I purposely went like swimming in the river up
there
here.
Too long, there long enough to get
a few
cold
weeks ago because it's so cold.
Stuff up and, you know.
They got some rivers up here between Maine and the border of New Hampshire, and it's like ice cold, ice cold this time of year still, even in the middle of summer. And
well, my brothers live in Vermont.
I kind of like it better.
I got two brothers that live in Vermont. I got one brother that lives up here with me in Maryland. So I know I lived in Vermont for 15 years. So I know what cold's like too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to military school up there, and we would get up at what they call Old Dark 30 and go to PT, they call it personal training. And sometimes you'd have to do a PT test in the morning. And it was always like 4 o'clock in the morning, always the coldest day of the year. You'd walk out the barracks and your freaking snots would freeze like immediately. That kind of cold. So, yeah, sucks. But that's my business is firewood, so I make a killing on it when it gets cold.
Cool.
But anyway, yeah, I'll actually be at these fights for the first time since Zion's paid for my ticket back at UFC 78. I bought tickets, broke down and bought tickets awesome. For this card. So I'm going to be there. And we just interviewed like a few weeks ago a guy named Kenny Hewer, who is usually seen opening and closing the cage door. So that's my biggest insider there. I'm probably going to talk to him when I go there. I'm all way up in the balcony, so you won't see me on TV. I don't think I'm going to bring a Dana White sucks sign or Zion sucks. I'll probably get thrown out.
I have a cool story for you. We went to, I can't remember which one it was. It was one where Chandler fought, I think he fought Gaethje. And it was in New York, and we had gone, and we had a bunch of stuff going on that year, just the crazy stuff. My brother Dale had survived cancer, and I had kept my gym afloat during COVID. We had a lot of different things. My brother Chris was turning 65, I think, at the time. We had a lot of stuff going on, so I sent a letter out, and I said, look, we don't want to go. We've already paid for our tickets. We wanted to see if we could get some good seats for the press conference in the weigh-ins. So I got an answer back from Hunter Campbell, who's like number two, and he says, yeah, we'll do that for you. We'll hook you up. So I'm like, yeah. So we get closer and I contact him again. He gives me a number of these guys. So we're waiting, and you know that the weigh-ins and the press conference are free. But, you know, you got to get there early. So we get there early. We're waiting on this guy to give us a ticket. So all these people are going in. So we finally get there, and then we get the tickets, and we go up to the security, and security's like, oh, no, these aren't special tickets. They're regular tickets. I'm like, we got screwed. So I call the guy, and the dude comes in. He goes, no, absolutely not. He gets us in there. He sticks us in there. We get up. We're, like, in the front row, right? Right by the weigh-in.
Yeah.
And we're sitting on the side. All of a sudden, security comes over and they're all bent out of shape and they're telling us we got to get out. I'm like, we just got put here. And we were sitting in Trevor Whitman's seat and Kamaru Usman's parents' seat.
Oh, jeez.
So we got moved. So then they go,
no, you're over here. We look at the seats, and the seats say Dana White. It's like, I have proof. I have pictures of it. But Dana White. We're sitting in front. I'm freaking out. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next night, one of them was, I can't remember. So I think the Wayans were that night, and then the next night was a press conference or vice versa. So the next night we come in, we got the tickets, and they say Endeavor on them. We get all the way to the front row. We're sitting in the Endeavor seats. There's Endeavor on all the seats. And we're sitting next to Chuck Zito from the Sopranos. And he's been in Sons of Anarchy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there, and it was like awesome. And then to top that off, one of the guys locally is a manager. He manages Cowboy Cerrone and a couple other guys. And he goes, dude, if you really want to see these, he's watching my Instagram, seeing all his pictures. If you really want to meet these guys, you go at, I'm going to say it's a Hilton, one of these hotels in the city is where they always stay.
Yeah.
So we go there and hang out at the bar, and all these, we get pictures with Chandler, we get pictures with all these guys. It was like so cool.
Sweet.
I was like, oh my God. We were drinking with Uriah Hall. We got pictures partying with him. It was funny as hell.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to be able to top that one, though. It was a pretty awesome trip.
Yeah, I'm afraid to try to go for the VIP experience, even if I paid for it, because I've pissed a lot of UFC people off over the years with my commentary. They sued me. They got Zients. They sued me. And it was like really heavily UFC connected at that point. Fertitta connected, too. And, you know, Dana White is the whole reason Zients got involved in the UFC, because his wife went to high school with the founder of Zients. And they all went to high school together, the Fertittas and all of that. And then the weirdest thing was about, I want to say like 3 or 4 months ago, I found out that Ann Stella, Dana White's wife, her father was even connected to the Fertittas. He was one of the card skimmers or the casino skimmers back in the day. He was in charge of one of the casinos that got skimmed on purpose by the mob. So for years, Dana's father-in-law, even while he ran the UFC, was a mob guy. And nobody knew about it. Only way I figured it out is because one day I started looking at obituaries. And then I looked at the one guy's name that he mentions the Fertittas in the obituary. It was being longtime family friends. And then I looked it up. I was like, oh my God, how did I miss this for decades? It makes sense though, you know? Like, and the guy just died like a few years ago. So it's probably a good idea that I didn't do it when he was alive. But I wrote an article about it on ZionSucks.com. So, I mean, it's out there. So I can't imagine Dana White would give me a friendly VIP experience. He knew it was me there. And back in the beginning, it's kind of funny because when I first started digging into that story, they were worried enough where they were like, all right, we'll bring you out here. We'll fly you down and you can meet with Dana White yourself. So I've always kind of kicked it through my head. Like, what would have happened if I'd done that? It would have been a sellout, but I would have got access back in the day when it was like really still growing. But oh well, I'm proud of what I did. I did it mostly for the fighters because in the end, like even with the UFC owning Zients, they screwed the fighters. They wouldn't even give them the money they were guaranteed for their Zients contracts, even when they were in control of it. Like they Jewed them out on that, their own fighters. And they pretended like, oh, it was just some corporate entity that was disconnected from them. But someday we'll get a big book out there. Maybe I'll even fictionalize it. I've been thinking more and more about that, you know, because I wouldn't put it past them to try to sue me again over it. So we'll just fictionalize it and just make it like 6 different scandals in one. Mix it all up together in a big blender. It'll be a good Netflix story or something, series. But anyway, thanks for spending some time with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Tell us where the gym is located, Shattuck MMA, and how people can get involved there.
We have actually two locations.
locations right now. I am at the one in Eldersburg, Maryland, which is in Carroll County. Right. And my brother Dale owns the one in Essex, Maryland, which is in Baltimore County. So
all right.
About 45 minutes from each other.
Okay. Well, we also, we have two different sites where we're going to post this. We have our podcast site, Spreaker, is the one we use.
Okay.
And then we also have our old Blog Talk Radio profile, which I've been paying the hefty $35 a month price for.
The link, I've had a couple people that have asked me about it. I don't know if you remember the Granimal. He's been on your show. He was on the show with me.
Oh, cool.
Matt Granahan.
Yeah. I remember the name.
Yeah, he wanted me to send him a link. So
sure,
you guys get a link for it and shoot it to me, and then I'll send it out to the universe. Like I said, I'm on pretty much every piece of social media, so I'll get it out there.
Awesome.
I just followed you on Instagram.
And I've got the entire day off tomorrow. I'll probably go through and do all the little editing in the morning and post it on the secondary site, which will be just your interview. But what I'll do is tonight, right after we finish, I'll post it on Spreaker. So you'll have the full length, us talking before and us talking a little after.
Okay.
So that's how we usually do it. But anyway, great talking to you. I will try to take some of your advice and see where I get on the bets. But I just do it for fun. I don't ever spend like hundreds of dollars.
Get on DDT's site, man. Pick up some of that stuff. It really is good stuff. Get your back fit.
Yeah, we got to get DDP back on the show again. I know I know when he said goodbye to you, he must have said what he said to us. It's been your pleasure, right? One of the funniest things from his interview. I never forget that. Nobody ever says that. It's been your pleasure. I thought that was so funny. But anyway, yeah. Cool talking to you. It's been too long. Jeez, when was the last time we probably talked? It was like 15 years ago, probably?
It's been a while, yeah. I can't remember how long it's been.
Time flies.
It's been quite a bit. It's been a while.
Well, it's good to hear you're doing well, and glad to hear you met up with the guy we talked to before. That's cool. It's always brings back memories. But thanks all for the call.
Thanks again.
Yeah, we'll
all right.
Catch up with you sooner next time, right?
Yeah.
All right. Take it
easy. I'll have to call you when I can finally get certified from them. So.
Yeah, definitely.
One more month. All right. Sounds good.
Sweet. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.